Starting online meetings can feel so awkward. You don't see people's faces. Sometimes people are muted. Normally, you would have a coffee with them, but right now, you're seeing a screen in front of you. Today, with Verena, Olav, and Victor, we will be discussing that how to start online meetings right, how to establish the tone and the style of engagement for the meeting, how to deal with the reoccurring technological problems, and also how to create a space where people can connect with each other and maybe also get to know each other a bit better than how they could do in out in the physical world. Verena, would you introduce yourself in a few sentences?
Yeah, thank you. So I'm an organizational researcher. So I use workshops pretty much on the one hand for research and on the other hand to tell people about my research, which is very much in the field of how we deal with uncertainty, how we deal with risks, and how we run projects in an uncertain world.
How to run projects in an uncertain world. Interesting. Thank you. Olav, would you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I love working with different sort of participatory facilitation practices, which is facilitation where the people who are attending provide and create a lot of the content. So it's one step further from interactive. That's me.
Awesome. Thank you, Olav. And about me, my name is Victor Berek-Sassi, and I'm the founder of Innovation Haven, a facilitation firm where I'm leading communication trainings and team building workshops using gamified tools to make the usually sometimes boring trainings into more of a fun adventure, which people go through together. And that's about the current experts for today. Let's jump into the topic, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely.
First question, why is it more difficult to start an online meeting than starting a physical meeting?
Well, I can just share an anecdote. So yesterday I was running a Q&A session on my favorite topic, uncertainty management. And it was a little bit awkward at the beginning. So we had the scheduled starting time, and 2-3 minutes before, people just started logging in into the Zoom call that we've set up. And it was just weird because nobody really felt how should we now engage with those people. Usually when you have those kinds of things at a conference or at a university setting, you kind of mingle with the people before, you get to know your audience, you get to know what they're interested in. You have like this one-on-one conversation or maybe one-on-two conversations. And this is something that cannot happen. So if you have a lot of people in the room and a lot of them don't even have the camera on, you don't know, are they there? Can you engage with them? Will you now just ask a question into the room and not get any answer? And it's a little bit awkward. I also have that. It just feels weird.
Yeah, and sometimes people don't even show their real names, but they have aliases.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who is there.
Yeah, very much so. And since it was the first time that we did these kind of things online, so where we really did not know who would show up, and it was a little bit more personal than a webinar, but a little bit less normal or kind of less normal setting than a work meeting. So that then especially created this awkwardness. And afterwards, I thought, okay, how could we actually have overcome this awkwardness? And I think that's also a little bit what sparked the idea for what we should talk about.
Yeah, how could we overcome the awkwardness? Olav, what kind of experience do you have about the sometimes awkwardness of starting out online meetings?
I think when people show up online, it's often more difficult to figure out the lay of the land because there is no land as such. If there is a host in the room, you can identify who that person is. But at the start of the meeting, I've often experienced that person either not being there or not being present visibly or running anything. And the only sort of physical structure that most online platforms provide is that the people who arrive first will be first available. And then if you're using more of the speaker view, then you'll see the people who have recently spoken. This does not make it easy to engage. So another way that I've experienced the start of a meeting is where the facilitators start up by providing something that is somewhat generic, that it doesn't matter if people miss out on for a little bit, and providing some questions to the participants and sending them into breakout rooms. Then the facilitators or the hosts actually join those groups as well. it will be possible for participants to handle it on their own. It's just a few questions to sort of, hey, this is me, this is what I'm thinking about, this is what I care about, whatever. And if you give enough time to answer the questions, some people will have time to do more than that. In the beginning, that might also be a bit awkward. Like I've experienced like, okay, so here we are, what are we going to do? Okay, but we have these questions, so let's just dive into those. And after answering those questions, conversation tends to flow quite well. That has been a very good experience for me.
Yeah, that seems actually like a very good approach to it, because that's also something that I experienced in more teaching settings, where if you start off with first discussing the topic that you later on will talk about in smaller groups, that there's a different kind of engagement right afterwards, because you kind of prime everybody to already think about the topic. You don't kind of, as a facilitator, have to cut them in.
What I experience in facilitating is that sometimes people are feeling a bit awkward or maybe introverted, especially when they are meeting up with strangers. Having smaller groups and having breakout groups instead of being in a big pool of participants, then maybe it would be also making it easier for people to communicate online and go into a discussion together.
This aspect of awkwardness of talking out or presenting yourself or also turning on the video would work really, really well. And that's a function that at least Zoom has, but probably the others as well, is the annotation tool. So where I basically just put out a question on a slide. So kind of where I used PowerPoint slides as blank frames for annotation. And then I had 20, 30 students in there, which just started to write in there. So you got actually a lot of input very quickly. And this is a much lower barrier if people just type stuff.
That sort of takes me into the different audiences that you can have. Do you have a chance to establish some sort of pattern with your audience, or is it a new group of people? Because if it's people that you meet with regularly, then you can establish some sort of startup practice or thing to do that is actually what you're doing in the beginning of your meeting before you move into the main purpose.
Maybe you also have to consider the maturity of the audience that you have. So probably if you have a grown-up audience, this will work really, really well. But I also taught bachelor courses at university, and if you give them the opportunity to put on the big screen whatever, you can imagine what kind of words will show up. So it really makes a difference what kind of maturity you have. Their anonymity can be good, but it can also be like really, really, really detrimental.
I love that. So far, we were sharing ideas of what to provide to people when they arrive to the meeting, but there's nothing going on at the meeting and they cannot grab a coffee together and cannot have a one-on-one chat. What I experienced in nearly all of my online meetings is that somebody will have a problem with tech. How do you people deal with IT problems and tech problems?
I feel actually it's gotten much better. So if Corona has taught us one thing, it's how to use online communication tools. So most people have now proper microphones. They have the right things installed. I think my mom still can't stop a Skype call, but I think never gonna get her there. But still, it has become much better. But in a way, yeah, that's something that you have to expect, that people will be not joining right away. That's for the one hand. You suggest when you send out an invite, try to log in 5 to 10 minutes early, because then you can figure that out. I just had that this morning. Teams didn't want to start, so I kind of had to troubleshoot Teams for my morning call. That's one thing. Kind of try to get people in as early as possible, not just when it's time.
And also as a facilitator, to arrive early. So as a space holder, I would be there for people to meet. And then there's no question that, hey, who's the facilitator? Because the guy is already there.
This type of thing, yes, people are getting better, but I still experience that quite often when I use some of the more interesting features that we've been talking about, like annotate and working with breakout rooms, then I still often have the experience that there is someone present who is learning how this works. One thing that I've seen that is quite nice is sending out a care package.
What I was thinking is also that you introduce these methods in situations where it does not yet matter, so that you have actually a warm-up session where you just use the annotation tool and let people play around with it. Or even kind of at the very beginning, have a starting screen that's already shared with everybody, where maybe it just shows, okay, there's the annotation tool. Just try to write your name and where you're at on it. So that could also be a kind of first breakout room. And then you see people that actually write on it, that have found the tool and have written their name and where they're at. You can then actually actively talk with them and say, hey, nice, Olaf from Stavanger. Nice to see you. Great that you joined.
That's a really wonderful recipe. I look forward to testing that out. I was just thinking about this care package thing. If there is something a little bit more involved, or if you're using some more tools, then sending out a care package, and this is something that you can have prepared and use across different projects, just explaining like the basics and establishing some of the sort of like, how do you get set up, arriving early, testing your equipment, but also what are the basic rules of engagement that we're using for our platform today. Of course, this will probably need to be repeated in the meeting, and this is a nice thing to do like early on. But one thing that I've experienced is that if you have the ability to sort of have a helper who is like the tech moderator, who can answer questions in the chat, helping people out with their technical challenges, then that has been quite amazing.
Yeah, I think what you just said with the tech helper or tech facilitator, that is something that I've realized not only on the online domain, but whenever you use additional support tools. So for instance, I've been using Slido in physical lectures. You need somebody who monitors the tech, because as the person who's actually looking out for the personal relations and for facilitating the discussion, you can't also have an eye on that.
Yeah, absolutely. But one thing that I've seen happening when there is one or more tech facilitators present is actually that the participants are the ones who are quickest to answer the questions.
That is true.
That was about tech. We heard lots of different kinds of ideas. Arriving early, having a co-facilitator who is supporting people with tech, send out a goodie bag with some good ideas and checklist of how to prepare for such a weird and magical meeting as a Zoom meeting. And I would like to move for a different kind of topic. What I realize in online meetings is that there's a thirst for social human connection, because many people, the most connection they have nowadays is with their dog or maybe with their family. And they're the lucky ones. What I experienced that when a meeting starts, the first 15 minutes is coffee chat. How to integrate this and fulfill this thirst for connection when you're organizing an online meeting?
I don't think that it's actually something that's new. It's just maybe more visible, because this coffee chat happened otherwise by people just meeting in the kitchen and having a coffee together. Maybe you can plan for it. If it's a group of people that maybe don't collaborate on a regular basis, then you probably have to very actively create room for social engagement. First of all, this will also help you then afterwards in your actual facilitation, because then you're not just the people in front of the screen, but you have some personal rapport. You know where they're sitting. You know that why there is the cat running through the screen all the time. So you have some glimpses into their life that makes you relate on a more personal level to them. So I would not try to suppress it, but rather actively create room for that. Maybe also say, this is now kind of our socializing round. Maybe even create breakout rooms on different topics.
I love that. I love that point, is that now you have an insight into their personal lives. So before, maybe you had a discussion at lunch. Hey, what do you plan to do in the weekend? What are your summer plans? But right now you see that where they live, what they read, how their house look like. It could be more personal than a corporate usual chit chat.
Another thing that it might be nice to do in this sense is to be clear about when the meeting starts, and maybe also be clear on when the content starts, so that if there is a publicly available agenda and some people really don't want to join the chit chat, then they know when the content that they need to be part of starts. An interesting thing that I've noticed is that in interactions where the main goal is sort of the social aspect, the meeting people, the being together, I've been present in a group where the request came up for everyone to unmute themselves. Because normally on Zoom, we have this thing where everyone is muted when they are not speaking. But if it's a small enough group and you can see everyone, then actually hearing the noises of people reading or doing stuff is actually adding to the feeling that, hey, we're connected, we're here together. So I'm curious if you guys have some experiences with like the effects of muting and turning off video in the start of the meeting or social interaction phase.
Yeah, so I definitely share your experience that it's nicer that you actually get some reactions. I would go as far as saying it's not only the audio, but it's really also about seeing facial expressions. I just feel now the difference from when I teach or facilitate in a room where I see the direct reaction of the people, where I see their faces, I see their body language, I hear them maybe laughing and see that they are positively engaged. And suddenly now I have a wall of black, no video shared participants. I feel a little bit weird because, I mean, of course, a lot of facilitation is also about trying to time your humor or kind of really engage emotionally. And then if you get no response to it, it's just so weird. So having no video for me is definitely a challenge. And it's enough if you just have one or two persons on it. So for instance, in the call yesterday, it was my co-facilitator who had his video on. And that helped me quite a bit. But there I also realized that as soon as you then start sharing a screen, you have so much things going on there that you can't both have the sharing the screen, your talking notes and the videos at the same thing. So in a way, you're just talking to a screen and then it becomes this weird thing again and where you feel like, okay, are they really there? And probably that also then changes the way how you talk, how you engage. Maybe you come even.
I totally get that. And when I facilitate in not online settings, what I love to do is doing check-ins with people that after having a session or answering a question, hey, is this valuable for you? Maybe if I feel a bit insecure that I managed to convey my point in a good way. Guys, what do you think about this? Is it useful? Raise your hand. High? No? Super low? Okay, let's find a different angle. And I think this could be also very valuable to do in an online setting. What I'm thinking about now is let's do a sum up with best ideas, what you would recommend for an online facilitator for starting out their meetings.
I would say the meeting starts before the meeting starts. As a facilitator, there might be some benefit in thinking about your participants before the meeting starts. Like, for instance, sending out information ahead of time with how to get started. And the other part of the meeting starts before the meeting starts is showing up ahead of time. And then also actually starting the meeting, starting the facilitation before you start the content, that is the main thing.
Yeah, that's for me also one of the key takeaways. You have to facilitate the chit-chat that usually happens naturally, that happens on the coffee table or the breakfast layout or whatever you have. So you have to think about how can you get people to show that they're there, to become present in what, why they are here, and to also get yourself the hook that they are open for discussion. Because usually when I would stand at the buffet, I see who's open for discussion. I see who I can approach. I don't know that in the video. So I think this is something that we really have to think differently about it when we're online.
I love that. What is my big takeaway from this discussion? And thank you very much for that. Is to create a mark, an indication, which makes it clear that when the meeting starts and when the content starts, and make it very explicit.
Yeah, and two of the approaches that we were discussing was starting out with a shared screen, explaining how to use the annotate tool and inviting people to introduce themselves using the annotate tool. And the other approach is to and allowing them to have a few questions to get them going and a little bit more time to chat if they want to.
I think this is the time to round up. Thank you very much, Verena and Olav, to join this discussion. I feel that I learned so many new things and new perspectives, and I'm full of ideas of how I will be running my next online workshop.
Yeah.
I see lots of nodding. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Super happy yes. for that. So... thank you very much, and have a great time.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. You too.